Well, good morning, everyone. While we situate ourselves, would you go ahead and take hold of a Bible? And our ushers are doing their due diligence, but if you need a Bible, if you raise your hand up, I'm sure we're going to make sure we get one of our church sanctuary Bibles right in your hand. Let's take a look at Bible attendance, just to see either that or electronic apps, huh? Okay, yep, just kind of good. Well, this morning, we're thrilled because we get a chance with September. It's September 1st, and the beauty of that is we just have all these outstanding events taking place this month, and it's already been an exceptional summer, but if you missed out on some of the get-togethers that we had this summer, don't despair. We have our beach bonfire coming up in a couple of weeks, and also we'll have water baptism on that evening in the ocean. So please come on out. Make sure you who are watching via live stream, you can fit that one, and I'm sure of that. But we're starting a new series, and that new series is entitled Following Doctor's Orders. So we're taking a look at something here, and when we take a look at Following Doctor's Orders, we're kind of spinning off of our summer study. That study was the spiritual gift of healing. We had a time, 5 weeks with our speaker, Kevin Edwards, a week with me. We saw some amazing things. What we liked about our speaker was just a lay person, just like so many of us, just learning to survive, doing work. But this person has a spiritual gift of healing. And we were capturing that because with that, a lot of questions were being answered. Barriers that were being eliminated, barriers being, well, can I receive healing? And should I be one that would go and pray for others to receive healing? It was an outstanding time. So I want to encourage you, we're going to take that and walk with that and measure those things out because God is definitely doing some things here at Hope Chapel and beyond. Many of you have received healing while we were together when we introduced the spiritual gift of healing aspect with our lead meeting. It was back in June. I brought up our two staff members that were healed, and that with that, that brought in a large, consistent attendance every Wednesday. Now, some of you may not have been around for any of those, so we're going to start kind of light and enjoyable and put it together in a nice, polite way. But I want to highlight some things and not just assume we are aware. When we talk following doctor's orders, we want to look at it in this regard. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the one who said, I didn't come for the well, but for the sick. He came along and said that I came for those that are lost and need salvation. And we know that Jesus is the healer. It's one of our great foundation principles. But it's interesting to note our logo that we're using is the symbol of medicine, is it not? Can you see that pole with the serpent gathered around that? That's taken from Numbers chapter 21. Our society uses a symbol taken from Numbers chapter 21. Let's take a look at the screen. It was in this episode of Numbers during the wilderness wandering that the nation of Israel complained. Once again, they did not like the condition. They did not like the environment. They didn't like the food. They didn't like the leadership. So God said, he had it, and he said, I'm just going to bring out some serpents, nothing like that, some snakes. Those that were bit would die. And then the nation realized they were doing wrong, repented, and God gave this order to Moses. It says in verse 8, says, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. And so Moses made the bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So it's interesting that modern medicine uses that symbol. What constitutes that symbolism, and it really is in keeping with even communion, but what God was saying, that those that rebelled, who were in sin, they were going to die for that. But if they were to believe and find that symbol and look at that symbol, two things would happen. They would not die, and they would be forgiven of the sin that led to their death. Two things happen to us when we look to Jesus. Not only will we not die an eternal death, but we will also have our sins forgiven. It's interesting to note that Jesus brings that verse up in John chapter 3, verse 14. See it on the screen. Scripture says, Jesus speaking, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So Jesus is equating that same episode that all you and I have to do is look to Jesus and live. Sin kills. Sin separates a person from God. Sin separates the best of friends, even if you are related by covenant with them. So sin does that. But those that look to Jesus, that sin's been forgiven. Miraculous things start to happen and healing abound. We're going to have communion in a little bit. Hope that you'll join us. But it was Jesus that instituted the communion elements. He says, as often as you have this cup, that's my shed blood. You're now entering into covenant. As often as you eat this bread, it's my body given for you, for your healing. So both elements, look to Jesus. I like the cross in that regard. Man, it's a reminder because of the ways that I traffic in sin, not so much in doing sin, but man, something kind of gets into my mind, my gross imagination, can really trip things up. And if not held to a condition, can always act it out. So Lord, forgive me, heal me. And I'll tell you, it's great to have that happen. In John 3, 14 and 15, you know, the very next verse is John 3, 16. Everybody knows John 3, 16. Remember that? Matter of fact, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, 16. So you can see, same condition. We're taking a look now at a message beginning of our mini-series for maybe 5 weeks. Today's message is entitled, Prayer Life Brings a Healing Life. So we're going to take a look at how that prayer, hearing from God, spending time with God, not only brings healing to us, but how about being the change agent with which God brings healing to your environment, to your society. So it's important to us. When we were going through our summer Wednesday studies, we were aiming at a couple of individuals, our GO team to El Salvador in October. We were excited about our GO team going to Surfing the Nations. We were excited about our life group leaders being involved. We were really aiming for these individuals that will help steward this understanding that as the Bible lays out, we are all to pray for healing for other people, but there are a few of us that have the gift of healing, and you don't know it. I'm confident 1/3 of Christians have the gift of healing. Therefore, how would they know? Well, they just go out and pray for the sick. It's kind of like we all can sing. We can all run. Some do it better. How do you know? Well, you just get out and sing. And you realize, I think I have a talent, or I can just sing. Same with running. I have a talent, or I can just run. And it's the same with praying for people that need healing. We know this, that we've been taking a look at what a miracle happens when you just gently lay hands on a person that needs healing. Something happens instantly. We call that a miracle. Therefore, a healing that takes a progression or recovery, that's what we call just they'll be healed or are being healed. So that's the beautiful thing. We know that Scripture encourages all Christians to pray for the sick. Mark 16:8. These signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That word recover means you may not see it instantly there, but they will genuinely get better, a real recovery. But when you have a gift of healing, God shows up sovereignly, and you just lay hands on the sick, and they are recovered right there. We call that a miracle. Miracle. So we've been looking at here as we begin, and I open my Bible to Luke's Gospel. Let's open to Luke chapter 11. Today's message, Prayer Life Brings a Healing Life. Now we want to remember this, that we don't see Jesus praying for the sick. Never is it recorded. He always just touches people or gives commands to whomever or to whatever. He gives commands. Remember, even when the centurion came up and said, Lord, I am a man under authority. Just say the word, my servant will be healed. Remember that? And Jesus says, whoa, this dude's got it, the faith I've been looking for. And he just said, go home. He's well. And then he inquired, it was in that hour. So this is important for us because I'm going to believe, I'm confident, I'm talking to very mature Christians here. But some of you are going to take this and say, why not? Others are going to say, man, I'm kind of locked in how I do things. But the Spirit of the Lord is going to show you, and that's why we're talking a prayer life will bring a healing life, spending time with the Lord. So again, if we do see Jesus praying, he's not praying for the sick. He always prays before. Not for. Everybody say that with me. Jesus prays before, not for. So you and I are going to take a look at this, and we're going to pray before we go praying for anybody. Because God will give you the doctor's orders. Spending time with Dr. Jesus, he might just say, this is how I'm going to work in your life. He might just say, this is what I want you to do for that person in your life. Let's take a look. Verse 1. Father, thank you for now opening this series. Thank you, Lord, for opening our heart. Lord, lives are at stake, and you know very well. You're going to help us all in great ways, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. We also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everybody say that with me. For everyone who asks, receives. Say it again. Everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we're taking a look here. A couple of things, 3 simple words I really do want to encourage you with. I think it's important. Because when we look at this, there are times that we would pray to the Lord. And let's take a look at point number 1, our communion with God. Just 3 words, list them, 1, 2, 3, communion, cooperation, calmness. Let's take them one at a time. First of all, communion. It's interesting when you and I would take a look at prayer, because it talks about God's first concern is with us, that point says, and the relationship that he has with us. It's noted that when Jesus finished praying, verse 1, that his disciples, one of his disciples, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Take a look for a moment, because it doesn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. These disciples, they're all Jewish. They know how to pray. Matter of fact, every day they prayed the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So they know how to pray, but there's something they saw in Jesus. They said, teach us to pray like John did. That's important. That's what we're wanting to take a look at by just having, first, foremost, communion with God. Not the elements that we're taking a look at, but that communion is, let's just gather together and let's fellowship. Let's relate to each other. Let's have things in common, communion together. That's what God really would like. It's important for us. And many times people would take a look at prayer just being a one-sided issue. I remember making a call one time, and I thought I was really speaking pretty well. This was a great little lectureship on the telephone, never knowing that somehow our phone got cut off or the guy didn't want to hear anymore. I don't know, but when I realized he was offline, don't you feel embarrassed? Kind of silly? It's like, ah. Oh. Sometimes that's the way it is with our time with prayer. It's like, are you really out there? Hello? Feel like you're cut off. But God wants to commune with you. That's his heart's desire. Started in the book of Genesis. It's going to end with Revelation. God and you. It's his desire. And you could see here, that's what he's wanting for us, to say, would you just come and spend time with me? He starts dealing with, there's a parable he talks about, verses 5 through 8. Then he talks about the application, verse 9 through 13. But the emphasis being for us, communion with God. We are irreparably self-reliant upon ourselves. There's something about Americans, because we are self-reliant, we do not spend time with God. And I just want to encourage us here today, those who are watching, God really wants to spend time with you. It's our self-reliant, it's the American way that really gets in trouble with us. It's that old area, it's like, hey, bro, just put and pull yourself up from your bootstraps. Go for it. I remember being raised as a young boy in church. And our family had this phrase, God helps those who, what? Yeah, I was shocked to find, as you know, that's not in the Bible. It's actually the opposite. God is actually ready to help those that cannot, and he knows we cannot help ourselves. I just need to know I can't help myself. And Jesus, if anybody could help himself, he was always dependent upon the Father. When people take a look at Mark's gospel, it says he woke up early, chapter 1. He woke up early before it was day to pray. I would encourage you, if you haven't had communion time with God, and you say, well, I usually pray in the end of the day. Man, start it in the morning. Why don't you maybe regulate things, your sleep pattern, and go to bed a little earlier so you can spend time with God early in the morning? Why is that significant? Well, Jesus appears to have continued to do it. I found the benefit of that because it's my daily bread. I get going early and start to hear things from the Lord for that day. And you will too. And you will too. Therefore, spending time in communion with the Lord is going to be so significant. And because we are self-reliant, we don't spend the time with the Lord. Usually, people will pray in ways that out of need, out of necessity. It's kind of like the golden parachute because I need something. And that's okay. That's how people start off in their prayer. They always pattern. If you take a look at our small groups or you just sit, your relationships with people, how can I pray for you today? We would relate it to my list of things I need. And that's how people will start praying. And those are important to the Lord. Why? Because you're important to the Lord. He's interested in those things, but you are important to the Lord. So when we take a look and we recognize that communion, isn't it interesting? Because we have in verse 2, Jesus says, okay, when you pray, say this, our Father. It's nice that you have a Father. We all have a common denominator, our Heavenly Father. Matter of fact, that's the title Jesus gave him. Look at verse 13. Check it out. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you have a Heavenly Father that wants to spend some time with you. You can download your list of things that you want to see accomplished or happened, but it would be good that you would finally say, okay, Father, what is it that you would wish? You would probably hear him say, I just want to spend time with you. So that's important for us to come along and say, Lord, I want to spend time with you too. Communion. If you say, well, I'm not even sure how to pray, then I would just say, why don't you just start it with this and then just wait in the most comfortable position with a little notepad to write because he'll speak to you. But pray this way. Father, help me today to be in the right place to do the right thing all for your glory. Here it is again. Father, help me to be in the right place to do the right thing all for your glory. Now that's unusual for Christians until they start to mature a little bit, because most of our relationship pretty self-focused, which brings us to point number two, cooperation. Cooperation. We can share in the work that God wants to do. We can cooperate. Why? Well, that's where we come in with the healing ministry. That's where we come in with the gift of healing. That God may have somebody for you to touch. And all it means is just touch. But you know God's giving you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that he wants you to do or to say or to pray for somebody. Because you spent time in communion, now you get a chance to cooperate. That's really a privilege. As you look here at verse 2, back at Luke 11, he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So the Lord has an agenda in heaven. Isn't it nice to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want to have done? What is it that you desire to have established? Your kingdom. So that's important. We're all a part of the family business. Have you been engaged in the family business? God's got a kingdom. He's very excited. We're talking the spiritual gift of healing. And I could go and relive and reteach Wednesdays, but we're finding the Holy Spirit's been teaching people, already prepping them for things. And it started first by communion with God. And the second thing is a transformation happens in that Christian where they're not always so interested in having a do list accomplished, but they start to say, okay, Lord, what is your will? Lord, help me to be at the right place to do the right thing for your glory. Boy, that's very mature. It's very mature. Typically, Christians are to always act that way. They see a need, we jump in there. Isn't it true? I'm talking about us. It's all celebrating who you are and what you do. So it's an impressive thing when we get a chance to cooperate with the Lord. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Would you, for a moment with me? Let's go to the left. Matthew chapter 5, verse 35. I'm always impressed by God. He always impresses me. You know he could get the job done by himself. He does not need you and me. It's so true. But he invites us to be a part of it. And that's where I'm just encouraging you. Commune with God and watch how the Lord's going to say, can you and I cooperate together to get something big time happening? Here's where Jesus sees a large crowd and he's moved with compassion. Check out what he does. I'm in 35, verse 35, Matthew 9. Are you there? All the way to the end. Write it down. Let's get used to writing notes. Life group season's coming. Verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in the synagogues, kind of like we're doing right now, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom like we're doing right now, and then healing every sickness and every what? Among the people. Every sickness and every disease. Wouldn't those categories fit in? We'll talk about that another day. He healed everyone. Then look what happened to our Savior. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep with no shepherd, he realized that's a large group and I need help. That's literally what it's bigger than I have time to take care of. And he asks us to pray. Then he said to his disciples, verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Lord, how? This would be a great Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. I'm confident, just like we are talking here, some of you are an answer to God's prayer from somebody just saying, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. You commune with God. You want to cooperate with his agenda. Somebody's been praying for you to come into focus. Somebody's praying for laborers. Could be in another city. Could be just around the corner. Could be right after service. Somebody's praying, Lord, send workers out there. Wow. That's the heart of Jesus. I need more people to cooperate with me. I remember a number of years ago, I was building a wood gate, two gates, double gate. And I was out there, it's getting dark, having the boards all laid out. And Luke got home from school, and he probably felt bad for me. It's getting dark, I'm not quite done. And he says, Dad, can I help you build a gate? Now I'm thinking to myself, I don't want him to help me. I've just got a couple of hours worth of daylight here, and I can get this done faster by myself. Isn't that true? It's true. I could say, Luke, why don't you go in there and watch TV? Just go in there. I'm good, man. Thank you. Or I could have him help me. We take 4 to 5 hours doing this. And sure enough, I said, well, come on over here. And he sawed a couple of boards, handed me a few others, showed him a couple of nails, how to drive one, a couple of screws. That was it. And we finished off. It was dark. He goes into the kitchen, tells his mother, Mom, built a gate today. Really? You know, that's kind of how it is with us and God. He could do it without you. But if you want, say, Father, I want to do what you're doing. It may take longer, may be a little disruptive, a little chaotic, maybe confused, maybe doubtful, but God will do the work through you. And you'll say, guess what I did today? I prayed for somebody, and a miracle took place. Because you communed with God, you're willing to cooperate with God, and then finally, let's look at number 3, calmness. Prayer is designed by God to bring you peace. Now, that's important. I like that fact. It's important for us to take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through verse 7. Would you find Philippians? If you go to the right from Matthew, past Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Good. Isn't that nice? I love hearing the Bible pages turn. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Something about praying and being with God, it brings a calmness. So we have 3 words. Commune with God. Cooperate. And then a calm comes over you. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He's right here now in the room. So it takes us gravitating in his direction. But he's here. Be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Everybody see that there? And the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, we associate prayer when we're in pain, when we're anxious, where we're confused. I got to pray. We got to change that. I'm going to pray when I'm feeling disrupted and pain. No, no, no. Spend time with God in communion. Say, Lord, what can I do for you today? Be at the right place, doing the right thing for the glory of God. There's a calm that comes. I like the old area, worry about nothing, pray about everything, and the peace of God, the calm presence of God's peace, is guaranteed to guard your heart, mind, and Christ. Oh, I like that. That's how you know you've been adequately placing yourself with God. It's never the amount of time or even doing it right. Just, Lord, I just want to be with you. If you, and there are great books out there, how to pray, how to journal, all those are good. But if it just makes you more anxious that you are or are not doing it right, that is not the byproduct of prayer. Everybody see what I just said? You'll know when you're doing it right when you just are with God. And a calm comes over your heart. It's an amazing thing. When you're there, you just write down what you feel, the impression is. He'll give you insight. He'll give you things. He'll give you ideas, ways to accomplish things, ways to approach people so you can heal them in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm going to tuck my notes in and pray that these things start to permeate your heart. Three words. Let's see if we can lock those in. Remember, communion with God. Not one of the disciples ever read a how-to-pray book. They just did it. They just did it. That's all I'm asking for you. And if the Spirit of the Lord enriches you and says, man, I just got to carve out some time. How much? How much, Paul? There's got to be... You'll know. When that calm comes over you, it's going to be pretty exciting. Well, I'm going to invite those who are helping us serve communion, if you would come forward and station yourself up front. We're going to serve you all communion. Hope that you'll enjoy that communion with us. Please wait. Let's hold our portions. I'll be back and we'll have communion together. Thank you, Dick.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah stood and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever. For endless days, we will sing.
When the Lord's presence, and He's here, is evident, and it is, anything can happen. I was asking the Lord, Lord, may every Sunday be an opportunity where people are healed in some form or way. So that every Sunday, something takes place and fits a particular need. I like that. So the need before we have communion is found in Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Luke 18, 27, Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Now we know we're talking about the disciples saying, well, who can be saved if it's... But he talks the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So this is where I'm trusting the Lord to touch a few of us. You're here this morning, and you're facing episodes in your life that the best efforts by men is not doing it. And you know it. Matter of fact, that could even be yourself. They say, if I just kind of get a better program going, or I pull away into this particular event, and it's still causing you to come up short. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I'm specifically just calling out those where you know you are not well physically or emotionally. It's possible with God. What we're going to see is the amazing way that God healed people. Is that He just sometimes touched or just commanded the episode or that thing to be gone. That woman who had an issue said, and she crawled through the crowd and said, if I just touch Him, I'll be healed. You got to be pretty convinced to believe that, because it caused her to have to work through a large crowd. You don't have to work through anything except simply believe Jesus' words. The things that are impossible with men, you're there now. Man cannot help you. It's possible right now with God. Let's separate our wafer. We're going to take the bread, the host first. So we lift that portion up. Symbolizes Jesus' battered body for healing. Again, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, anyone who believes will have eternal life. Therefore, as we take a look, Jesus, you're our healer. Lord, move right now through our seats. Touch right now those who are facing despair and hopeless condition and feeling frustrated and in deep depression because nobody can help them. Today, Lord, today's the day you'll help them. In the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and snap that wafer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So we lift a portion of our juice up. Whenever we do acts of reverence, acts of worship, signs of believing, means we're people of the covenant. So you who are toasting with us, thank you. Your faith in Jesus will save you. So Lord, as we lift this portion up, remove all sin. Let's have a fresh start this week because you took that sin away from us. Not cheap grace, you suffered painfully. The power of the cross still applies to Paul Harmon and everyone else watching, those who are here. New beginnings in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and participate. Praise the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet, please. Our ushers are going to gather the cups in the side aisles. let's go ahead and we'll stand to our feet. Let's sing this chorus together, shall we? What a day. What a great day.
On the third, at break of dawn, the sun rose again. Oh, trample down.
Thank you, Lord. Well, just before I dismiss you with prayer, our life group leaders are actively pursuing you, inviting you to life groups. So they will not be altar prayer. They're going to be out greeting you. Pray for each other. How about that? How about that? Say, how can I pray for you and bring that touch of grace on your life? Thank you for being here at Hope Chapel. Thank you for watching. What an outstanding weekend you've made it by being here. God's going to reward you, you know. So let me pray off that blessing. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, we've communed with you. So we've done that. Lord, we've had time with you. Thank you for allowing us to hear your voice so we can cooperate with next steps. And that, Lord, let a calm come over everyone. That this Labor Day weekend's going to be no labor at all, just a complete peace, a rest, a refreshing, a fulfillment of your promises over everyone. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming. Goodbye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.